Mike Wood walks along a thin strip of mud at the edge of Whiskers Creek, where it connects to the Susitna River, and dips his hand into the gritty silt.
It's gooey and it jiggles around and it's really abrasive, but it provides some great habitat for regermination of, look at that little sculpin. Look at that little baby sculpin right there.
The sculpin are some of the smaller fish in an ecosystem with grayling, trout, and salmon. Wood lives in Chase, just north of Talkeetna, and fishes the river year-round. He harvests fallen trees for building projects in the area, too.
These trees that I bring home are huge, I mean, for our area. They're like, 26 inches on the butt. And I always call them salmon-fed trees because, look at that sculpin there. Because they've got to be, all this has got to have, fish waste in it.
He points at a rotting salmon carcass. Wood has lived along the Susitna River for nearly a decade, relying on it for food and transportation year-round. But he's afraid his lifestyle may change because of the proposed Susitna-Wautana Dam.
It's in a very, very good location for a large hydro project.
That's Alaska Energy Authority Executive Director Sarah Fisher Goad. She says the main purpose of the $5 billion project is to meet Alaska's goal of supplying half of the state's energy needs from renewable sources by 2025.
This would be approximately 50% of the electrical energy needs for the rail belt, serving over 80% of the population.
She says the idea for the dam was originally developed in the 1980s, but was shelved for purely economic reasons. Oil and gas were so cheap, building a dam didn't make sense. But now, she says the hydroelectric project would stabilize energy prices over time. The project's director, Wayne Dyack, acknowledges that yes, a 735-foot high dam just above Devil's Canyon would change the Susitna River.
So you will see some differences in the reach from Talkeetna to the Wautana Dam site. I think you can't avoid that.
But he doesn't see all of the changes as necessarily negative. For example, naturally, the river can fluctuate multiple feet per day over the summer. Dyack says stabilizing the river's flow could help the fish.
And we do know that there are other projects, including those in the lower 48, that have actually improved the fishery downstream.
The dam would make the flows more consistent from season to season as well. Whitney Wolf with the Coalition for the Susitna Dam Alternatives doesn't see how this could help the fish. She says the salmon need the pulse of water in early spring to send them downstream.
These seasonal events have a huge impact and positive impact on the ecosystem, and that would be completely lost.
Commercial fisherman and Talkeetna resident Steve Harrison says the higher winter levels could cause a problem for the juvenile salmon that normally hole up in little nurseries.
When they're young and extremely vulnerable, washing them out to sea is going to kill them, and so that would destroy the run.
But it's not just the fish that Harrison worries about. He and his wife, Rachel, rely on the frozen river in the winter for transportation. Every year, they watch the telltale signs of the frazzle ice on the edges of the water.
It would kind of remind you of white rice, elongated white rice, that's clinking together and sloshing on down. It's a slurry, but it's elongated.
That's their indicator that the world is about to open up. When the Susitna freezes, the Harrison ski and snow machine alongside bikers, dog mushers, and moose. Rachel says the river is busier in the winter than in any other time of the year. The dam would make the winter water higher and warmer and could impact ice formation. Dyack says he understands the importance of the river ice. That's why AAA has hired scientists to create ice models based on freeze-up data from the river's wide fluctuations. AEA is leading 57 other research projects that look at everything from caribou migration and vegetation mapping to subsistence use. The studies are required as part of the federal licensing process. They'll be used with thousands of pages of data collected in the 1980s. Dyack says the information is necessary for deciding the best way to run the project, if it's permitted.
You try to come up with a operating scenario that's going to achieve appropriate balance between the environment and the energy needs that we have in the state.
Back on Whiskers Creek, Mike Wood takes me to one of the study sites and points to boxes of wires attached to trees and narrow metal pipes covering monitoring equipment by the creek. Shiny silver bubble wrap once encircled a mammoth cottonwood. It held on sensors monitoring sap movement. But now, sections dangle off, ripped to pieces.
The bears just love coming and putting their claws right into them. There's so much science trash out here. It's amazing. Look at all that, just torn apart.
But Dayak is confident that their data quality is good, especially the information from over 500 tagged Chinook salmon. He and his team have 4 more years to prove it. The state will apply for a federal project permit in 2017. For APRN, I'm Ann Hillman.